Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said at the beginning, we're following the Gospel of Matthew for the readings in Pentecost. And Matthew has some particular themes that run through his Gospel. And one is the teachings of Jesus. Matthew records a lot of the teachings of Jesus, specifically his teachings. Matthew chapter 5 begins with the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, and then carries through several chapters of the teachings of Jesus. And so Matthew is very specific about making sure that the red letters are all throughout his gospel. Another theme of Matthew begins in Matthew chapter 4 at verse 17, where Jesus comes out of the wilderness after being tempted by Satan and begins his, what Matthew calls his earthly ministry. And he begins that ministry with the words, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then one of the other themes that Matthew has throughout his gospel is the constant, and this isn't just in Matthew and several gospels, but the constant comparison and the work that Jesus does with sinners and tax collectors and Pharisees. We know that in many of the gospels, his arguments are there with the Pharisees, but his particular attention to the sinners and tax collectors stands to reason, because Matthew was a tax collector. So why not, right? Why not? So if we take the theme, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, as Matthew lays out, and we come to our reading today where Matthew records his own call to follow Jesus. The kingdom of heaven, for lack of a better term, as Jesus uses the words kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God, is what we call the reign and rule of Jesus in his kingdom. So when Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, he means himself. He's not talking about necessarily some, you know, mystical thing out there or an earthly castle with, you know, vassals and all of that stuff. He's talking about him coming into the world as God has sent him, as God has begotten him into the world to reign and rule through his teaching and through his presence and through his invitation and then ultimately through his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection. So we read in Matthew today that Jesus shows up where Matthew is. He's walking by and sees Matthew sitting in the tax booth. Now, what is the tax booth? Well, it's sort of like the toll booth. A tax booth or a tax office was usually set up at some crossroads so that travelers going from one place to the next could be taxed for whatever it was they were doing at the time. And tax collectors were known by some to be they extorted a little bit more than what was necessary in order to line their pockets. Now, Matthew doesn't appear that way, right? With the other tax collector we know that Jesus calls is Zacchaeus, and that's recorded in Luke. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, has issues because people don't like Zacchaeus because Zacchaeus has made himself rich off of their money, and Jesus talks to him about that, and we'll leave that for another time. But here's Matthew doing his job as a tax collector. And Jesus comes by and says, "Hey, Matthew, follow me." And he does. And we could say, well, you know, did Matthew really know what he was getting into? Probably not. Was a rabbi and some other disciples, because he had already called the fishermen, was it something that he might be interested in seeing what this was all about? Yeah, maybe. So why not? So Matthew leaves the tax booth and goes to follow Jesus, and next we find them reclining at table. We assume it's in Matthew's house. Otherwise, where would it be? But Matthew has Jesus over at his house to have dinner, and who shows up? Well, we've got three groups. We've got the tax collectors and the sinners. We've got Jesus and his disciples. And we've got the ever-present Pharisees who are always trying to find Jesus doing something that he shouldn't do. So we've got these three groups seated at the table, and Jesus begins to fulfill what he said at the beginning of his ministry, and that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven has taken up residence in the world. And by that he means himself. And that's the amazing thing about the kingdom of heaven, about Jesus, is that it's not some distant place. It's not some unattainable goal. It's not some mountaintop experience. It is simply the presence of Christ. And now for Matthew, the kingdom of heaven has come near. In fact, the kingdom of heaven is dining at your table, Matthew. He doesn't necessarily realize that. But if you look at the collection of people that has assembled at the kingdom of heaven's table, you've got tax collectors, sinners, disciples who are also sinners, and Pharisees who are also sinners. So you've got the kingdom of heaven, Jesus himself, who has come near to this gathering of sinful people. Now that's pretty shocking if you think about it. The perfect Son of God, the perfect God, perfect man in one, Jesus, deciding to eat, share this experience, to come near to a group of sinners. Now we know, hindsight being 20/20, and with a couple thousand years of study, we're all sinful people and we love to have Jesus by us. That wasn't necessarily the case in Matthew. Wasn't necessarily the case for Matthew. Because now there's all of this attention drawn to him as the tax collector that he is, as the company he keeps, and now you have the kingdom of heaven drawing near, sitting at your table, eating with you, and what are you going to do with that? Well, you can do what the tax collectors and sinners do and sit down and eat with them. You can do what the disciples do, and they seem to stand a little far off. They're not quite there yet. Or you can do what the Pharisees do and go, psh, what are you doing? Why are you hanging out with those people? And in fact, they don't ask Jesus, notice. They don't ask Jesus why he does that. They ask his disciples, why is your teacher doing that? Why is he sitting with those people? Why is he investing his time in this mess? Why waste time with these sinners and tax collectors? And know this, there's nothing you can whisper, and I know this is going to sound terrible, that Jesus can't hear. So just, you know, one of those things, keep in mind, you can't whisper something that Jesus isn't going to hear. So Jesus overhears this and he says, hey, wait. See, I came, the kingdom of heaven has come near, I have come into the kingdom because there are people who need healing. There are people who need forgiveness. There are people who need mercy. There are people who need me. That's why I've come. That's why I'm sitting with tax collectors and sinners. Now you, Pharisees, you go figure out what it means. You go figure out why I'm doing this, because this isn't something new, right? This isn't something that God hasn't already talked about doing. In fact, go and read Hosea, he says. Read what he says when he says that God desires steadfast love and faithfulness, not sacrifice. That he desires our presence he desires love and worship, not burnt offerings. Go and figure that out, and then come and see me again. Because I came to call sinners to repentance. I came to seek and save the lost. So the kingdom of heaven has drawn near in the house of Matthew. The kingdom of heaven draws near in the house of grace as well. The kingdom of heaven draws near to your house, to your table, to your meal, to your heart, just as he did for Matthew and the sinners and the tax collectors. The kingdom of heaven doesn't just draw near, though. The kingdom of heaven, when the kingdom of heaven draws near, he calls. He calls to repentance. Notice that's what he says in the early chapter of Matthew, is that repent, for the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. So when Jesus comes near, he doesn't just say, oh, go on sinning. Now, this is something that people don't quite understand a lot of times. When Jesus gathered with the tax collectors and the sinners, he wasn't just saying, oh, I love that there are sinful people. In fact, I'm here to celebrate their sinfulness. No. And I think maybe that's what the Pharisees were afraid of. That maybe Jesus was saying what they were doing was okay. No. Jesus calls sinners to repentance. He comes to seek and save the lost. He doesn't come to justify everybody's sinfulness and say, hey, it's A-okay with me. He doesn't do that. In fact, as he's dining with the sinners and the tax collectors, we know there's conversations going on about their sinning and tax collecting, or whatever their conversation may be. With Zacchaeus, he dines with Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus knows that something incredible has happened, and he repents and then offers consolation to those from whom he stole the money. Jesus' call, the kingdom of heaven's call, is not his approval of sinfulness. In fact, it's just the opposite. The kingdom of heaven calls to repentance, calls to come back from the sinfulness, calls to return to the right path, calls to come for mercy and forgiveness and grace. Not to keep doing what you're doing. See, because along with the call, the kingdom of heaven brings transformation. That's why he's there. He's there to transform the people with whom he has contact. He never leaves people the same. In other Gospels, in the Gospel of John, there's the woman who was caught in adultery. We can get into all of that later. But the idea is that these people came and accusing this woman of adultery, and they wanted to see Jesus condemn this woman's sin. And people will say, well, see, Jesus doesn't condemn her sin. Well, wait. First, he challenges those who do the condemning and says, well, if any of you are sinless, you go ahead, take the first shot. And none of them can do that because everybody knows nobody is sinless. And so they walk away. And then Jesus says, I don't condemn you for your sin, but go and sin no more. He doesn't say, I don't condemn your sinfulness, so go ahead and keep doing what you're doing. No, he says, go and sin no more, because the kingdom of heaven, when he draws near, when he calls, brings transformation. His intention is never to leave you the same. When we come to the table today, when we come and receive his body and blood today, you are sent away from the table, not the same as when you came. You're not the same as when you showed up. Because dining with Jesus, dining with the kingdom of heaven, transforms us. It makes us different. It forgives us. It strengthens our faith. We're not the same. Now, does that mean we're never going to struggle? No, of course not. Does that mean we'll walk away from here perfect and without ever sinning again? I would love that, but no. But we are not the same. We're not the same as when we showed up today. Even now, after hearing the word of God and singing of the word of God, you're not the same as you were when you came in. Well, you might not feel a lot different, but believe me, the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. The kingdom of heaven has called you to repentance. The kingdom of heaven has transformed you. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew, follow me. I've come to call sinners and tax collectors to a new life, to a transformed life, to a changed life. I've come to heal the sick. That's the kingdom of heaven. It was the kingdom of heaven for Matthew. It's the kingdom of heaven for us. It's Jesus' presence with us and his reign and rule over our lives. Now, as we go through the season of Pentecost, we'll hear more about how the kingdom of heaven interacts with us and what the kingdom of heaven does for us that we simply, as sinners and tax collectors or taxpayers, tax auditors, whatever the case may be for us in taxes, the kingdom of heaven draws near. The kingdom of heaven calls us. The kingdom of heaven transforms us. And then later, well, at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, the kingdom of heaven sends us. We'll talk more about that when we get there, but know that that's coming. He doesn't just change us to let us sit. He transforms us to be his voice in the world around us. The kingdom of heaven has drawn near. Amen. And now may that kingdom of heaven, the presence of Christ in us, around us, and through us, keep us in the true faith to life everlasting. Amen.